¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Are you embrace the suck or stop the suck? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, 6817, stop the suck, AR Platinum. Not sure we can stop, all capital letters, the suck until we have fully embraced it. Well, that's next level. Keep on sucking.
Hey, my man, AR Platinum.
Not happy to just be okay, win or don't. Here's one from Klopps. Detroit picked top five for like 8 years straight. They haven't rebuilt. That's something that Brendan can talk about.
And the Jags and the Browns and
yeah,
the Jets.
Well, I mean, the Jaguars look like they could potentially be a playoff team this year. Cleveland made the playoffs last year.
What a high bar.
Or was it the year
setting.
Before? They also, I mean, used draft capital after they've built a good roster to trade for a top 10 quarterback, and looks like they could be a dark horse contender this year, as soon as this year.
Can we take Brendan's team for a lot of reasons why we can make it more personal here and get into this? It goes back to what we said, too, about being able to analyze talent properly when you make those picks. The Matt Millens of the world, the people that have been in the positions for the Lions, haven't exactly been astute guys to pick talent. And if you pick the wrong guys, is that the plan's fault, or is that the people that are orchestrating and executing the plan's fault?
This is, yes, it's the people that are orchestrating it.
And then it's the same general manager and his staff that can't pick the right personnel that are also either dabbling in free agency and pick and spending the wrong money on the wrong guys, or not getting the right type of guys that fit the plan.
This is what annoys me about the conversation. It's the argument. It's the Yuli Gurriel argument, where you're not defending Yuli Gurriel with anything that Yuli Gurriel does well. You're just picking apart the other person's argument. It's like, okay, Detroit didn't do it well. What's the alternative? What, to go out and sign mediocre free agents whenever the Texans don't even have the money to do that until next year? It's like, what's the alternative to build that team? Because, like, Brendan, you pointed to the fact that, look at the playoff team. 60% of them are our top 10 quarterbacks. 60% of them were drafted outside of the top five. Every playoff team is built differently. But they also all started from somewhere. And I would argue that none of them started in a worse spot than where the Houston Texans were in after Bill O'Brien took over and Nick Caserio tore down the organization to its studs, and rightfully so. The Texans have the worst roster from a talent perspective in the NFL. Like Detroit has had the worst talent roster maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, whatever that window is. What's the alternative? If you're going to tell me, well, other teams have sucked at doing it. On the Twitch line, you have Battery Chuck. You can embrace the suck and then draft Jamarcus Russell, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. Like, it requires hitting in the draft. Yes, absolutely. But it's easier to hit in the top five of the draft than it is in the teens.
This is something we would have needed to do before, but I would love to see how much better it is from top five than it is from 5 to 10.
2022 NFL draft. Would you rather be at the top spot and have your choice of Trevon Walker, Aiden Hutchinson, if you want to throw the corners in there, throw the corners, or would you rather have the 9th pick and take Charles Cross? Like, where do you want to be in the draft? There's a reason that the NFL has the draft order based on reverse standing. You try to create parity. If they felt the 13th pick was the best spot to be picking in the draft, the worst record would be picking 13th. Why is the first pick the best? Because you literally have the option to take anybody that you think is the very best. Do you have to hit on that pick? Yeah, you have to absolutely hit on the pick. But you have the whole player pool. You don't have that at 12.
That's what they're saying. That's what you're saying too, Jeremy, is the fact that if you truly want to be savvy in the draft, then have the right people on your personnel side that analyze talent so that no matter where you're drafting in each round of the draft, but particularly if you have the top pick in each round of the draft, and you do what Caserio did without the top pick in the first round of the draft in every round of the draft this year, but you can do it and also not have to deal with having to give up players like he's done in the past, or, you know, manipulate trades so that you can get guys that you have your eye on, you could do even better, and you can get it done even quicker, and you can even capitalize again in the fourth round and all the different picks that you get from the Watson trade. And you can get better quicker without having to giving all of that up to get the guy and get the position that you truly need.
Yeah, I mean, I want to hear the alternative. Like, okay, we looked at the quarterback data on where they were drafted. We've looked at, you know, where recent drafts, what it looks like it won in the top 10. You build the Texans. What is the best way to build the Texans from where they are? How do they get to the playoffs? Or how do they get to be a Super Bowl contender in 5 years? Like, how do you want them to build or to be built? Don't embrace or don't just nitpick the other side of the argument. Okay, we don't like embrace the suck. We just hate it. We don't like it. So instead of telling you the way that we should build the team, we're just going to, you know, hammer the things that we don't like about what you had to say. OG on the Twitch. Y'all's embrace the suck is bad word, dream scenario. Everything has to line up for you to even pull it off. Everything has to line up for the Texans to get back to the playoffs regardless of where you're drafting. Everything has to line up for the worst roster in the NFL to get back to being a playoff team, to someday be a championship contender. Whatever scenario you have has to line up. The easiest path to that, the playoffs. Being a Super Bowl contender in 5 years. Everything has to line up. Whatever scenario you want has to line up. The easiest path, the most bulletproof way, the most idiot-proof way, is to have as high as draft picks as you possibly can, and quite frankly, to have as much as you can, which is why I love the Deshaun Watson trade.
This is also why when we always analyze Rick Smith, or we go back to it, and I always say the easiest pick for general managers to make is the first-round pick. Most guys hit on first-round picks, but as you get deeper into the draft, and you know that more guys are looking at how good their personnel departments are in analyzing talent, having the top choice in that draft, in that round of that draft, and being able to get the guy before anybody else who also had an eye on your guy or has an eye for talent is an advantage because you don't have to give up picks to move up for someone in the third round like Casario's done in the past. You don't have to move up for Mechie. You don't have to, because you still get the guy you want, but you don't have to give up any assets to get him. And then you can capitalize on the people you have in the right place. That's why I missed me on the argument about all these teams that have had all these high picks that haven't been able to reset. It's who's available and how savvy your personnel department was to figure out who they wanted, who they needed, and how to get the guy that they want, that they should have gotten, instead of just, we missed on him. We'll just have to take this guy. He fell into our lap. And then you go, well, my draft board said, well, if you're not very good at your job, your draft board's not going to tell you what you need to know.
I don't know if you guys agree with this or not, but I have a fundamental belief. First of all, I think being a good GM in all of sports is one of the hardest things to do. But I have a fundamental belief that good GMs will figure it out regardless of where they're picking.
I don't disagree with that.
So does it give you a better chance to have watchable football, even if your GM's not good if you pick high? Probably. I think you're probably going to struggle to succeed at the highest level no matter what if your GM's not the guy.
If you want to go with the Granato comparison for he's mentioned the Astros. They had the 15-year where they, you know, got the golden age started even though they missed the playoffs for 9 straight, had 3 straight 100-loss seasons. The Texans, if they miss the playoffs this year, will be just the 3rd year in a row that they've missed the playoffs. If you want, look, Jeff Luhnow, I believe, would have built a winner regardless of where he was. Would have Jeff Luhnow built a World Series champion if he didn't have the luxury of picking at the top of almost every single draft? That's hard to say. If you look at the Astros, like, little golden era that we talk about, look at all the pivotal players that the Astros had that they built around. And I think it's like the NFL doesn't have, like, international free agency, so you can't find the Jose Altuves. You're not trading for the Yordan Alvarezes, Framber Valdez, Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy, Luis Garcia. Like, that does not exist in the NFL. There's not international free agency. But if you look at the draft, the Astros hit on the draft. Kyle Tucker was, what, a top 7 pick? I think top 5, maybe even. Alex Bregman was number 2. Carlos Correa was number 1. George Springer was a first-round pick. So, like, look at how high those players were drafted that led the Astros to what is this golden era. So, like, let's sit through that for a year. Because, look, I actually don't think we need to sit that long. I think that the Texans and Nick Casario, because he's looking at the future, because he's smart enough to look at the future and doesn't really care about his win-loss record last year or this year as well, he has put his team in a position to have success as soon as this offseason. He has 2 first-round draft picks coming up. There is foundational pieces on this team that did not exist a year ago. And he's also potentially, like, maybe a quarterback away. But then the cap figure. Like, the Texans didn't have money to spend this past offseason. So, like, this is why, Detroit did embrace the suck. They've been terrible. What alternative did Nick Casario have to make this roster better? They didn't have money. They didn't have a first or second rounder last year. This is the first year he had his full allotment of draft picks. Like, Nick Casario has put this organization in a position to strike as soon as this offseason. He didn't have that option prior to this year. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. 713-780-ESPN. Are you embrace the suck or stop the suck? 713-780-3776. Gary, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Gary?
How's it going on, guys? Definitely team embraces the suck here. I mean, there's basically zero advantage to, like, what, trying to win 5-6 games. Like, we don't have a playoff-ready roster. It's not a championship team. I don't even think we have our quarterback yet. So let's get the highest pick that we can, because it's not just about picking a quarterback in the first round. We need every other position as well, and the higher draft picks we get, the better chance we have of picking a player. Sure, we can point to a lot of outliers and everything else, but this is about probabilities.
Yep.
The higher pick, the greater probability you get who you want. That's not a debatable concept, and we should do that for this year and probably next year as well, because what's the point of winning 5 or 6 games as opposed to 2 or 3?
That's
now, once we have somewhat of a developed team, then, yeah, let's push for the playoffs. Let's try to win. Let's try to get that experience. But we're not there yet as a franchise, so it's no point in winning games right now.
Great call, Gary. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling. Brendan, I want to get back to the Lions, too, because I wanted to make sure who am I missing after Matt Millen making selections and picks before you got to the current regime?
Martin Mayhew.
And Martin Mayhew was a guy that had never done it before. He was an assistant, right?
Sure. I think you would argue Martin Mayhew did all right.
Martin Mayhew like a Casario?
He drafted, what was that?
Was Martin Mayhew more of a Casario guy?
What do you mean by that?
Like, he was learning under somebody else, and then suddenly he got the reins for his first chance.
Funny enough, he was under Millen, so people obviously
there you go.
Didn't like that. But he had a level of success in Detroit.
Here's
Detroit standards.
But again, you have to get the picks right no matter where you pick. That's my point there.
And to Gary's point, probability.
And with Gary's point, the other thing that I meant to say earlier that he reminded me of is, the thing is, we've all seen, you guys listening that are fighting this, we've all watched the same 3 games. Tell me, regardless of quarterback or no quarterback, tell me where you see signs of this being a playoff team.
I'm ahead of Gary a little bit.
Stop the run?
I think you can fix that pretty quickly.
Do they have receivers?
They have one, but I feel like you can draft one the first, second round. I mean, look,
Jeremy,
second round is right now.
For this year, for stopping
no, this
year.
Suck. No, 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 not
That's
this
my
year.
Point.
No, I mean, Christian Harris is their best choice, their best answer of hoping that he can be an upgrade at the linebacker position.
Let me clarify. Yeah. I'm saying for the rest of this season,
no, they don't.
For the people that want to stop
well,
the
I mean,
suck.
I guess you could trade one of your first rounders for a veteran free agent. I mean, you want to stop the suck?
And
that's a way to stop the suck.
For that. Like, let's,
this
let's,
is my point.
But that's the point.
No.
That's the idiot. That's the
this
stupidity of
how,
the other side
yeah,
of the argument.
This
Nobody
is my point
that.
Of how stupid this is. We're already.
You want wins?
We're 3 games into the season where everybody now suddenly is considering stopping the suck. Okay, if we stop it, what signs do you have, having seen these first 3 games, that you can stop it, get it in the right direction, and go where you guys want this team to go this year?
Yeah.
Because they can't stop the run. You're still questioning the coaching staff. You know that the receivers just aren't there, with the exception of one guy that's supposed to be there that really hasn't shown up or caught enough balls either. You're looking at over and over again, hole after hole after hole. Your head coach is even pointing out your linebackers. And then you're going to tell me, stop the suck. Stop the suck for what?
Embrace the suck or stop the suck. 713-780-ESPN. Also, look, let's simplify it. I think Gary did a great job of simplifying it. Would you rather win 3 games and have the number 3 pick of the upcoming draft?
Even 3 games, I think give the number 1 pick.
Well, whatever. Let's just, I mean, for the sake of the argument. 4 wins, number 3 pick, or would you rather have 7 wins and the number 9 pick? What would you rather have for the Texans? Because, look, 7 wins, you can enjoy your Sundays, I guess. Would you rather have 7 wins in the number 9 pick or 4 wins in the number 3 pick? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, let me tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. I've been telling you about Apollo Men's Health for quite a while. Dr. O and his staff know what they're doing, and their main focus is making sure you get what you want out of life on a daily basis. That means if you want more energy, they have a multitude of ways they can get it for you, starting with hormone therapy, also B12 shots, and they would love to tell you about it and talk to you about what you're going through and how they can help you. If you want to get on a workout program, they'll start with a full body composition analysis so they can measure your body fat and your muscle content and all the different numbers that are going to be important as your workouts progress, in seeing that body fat number go down, that muscle mass index go up, and all the different key numbers going in your favor, so that you have more encouragement that you want to stick with your program because it's working. Want to recover quicker? HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies or fat burners? Got those too. 2 locations to better serve you. Start by going to the website, apollomh.com. When you do, you're going to find out all the services they offer, and you can see all the ones that interest you. Then make an appointment. You can find out that all major insurance is accepted. They have discounts for military personnel and first responders. But then make the appointment. Go in with an open mind. Answer their questions honestly. Tell them the goals that you're trying to achieve. They're going to put you on a program that works. They get results on a daily basis, and people keep coming back over and over again like me because they've gotten me to a level I didn't think I could get back to again. Be the next in line to see the positive improvements in your life thanks to the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You embrace the suck or you stop the suck? 713-780-ESPN. I'm challenging you, if you're a stop the suck guy, tell me how. Tell me how they're going to do it. Because everybody, they don't have to, have the third pick. They just, they have to be able to find a way to make this team very good.
You draft the quarterback at pick 8, Jeremy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a better chance of getting a good quarterback at 8 than there is pick number 1. That whoever you're drafting at number 8, he's there at number 1. There he is.
Your personnel department was also dumb enough to take Jared Goff back in a trade.
Yeah. I mean, I think how the Lions, or how I feel about the Lions is a pretty clear example. Like, I think they desperately need a quarterback, but you know what I'm rooting for them to do? Win games.
Detroit's closer to being a playoff contender,
sure.
Though.
No doubt about it.
Why do you say that's a good trade? Because if you didn't take Goff back, you could have taken other
Goff was required to take him back because they were trying to dump the contract.
They got 2 firsts.
Two firsts because they took the contract.
They probably weren't getting 2 firsts from
anybody
else.
But it's one thing. You're getting Matt Stafford in return, and you could have said, much like with the Browns, they made the move for Watson and traded for him and still had Baker, and then it's on them to find a different home for him. You could have just said, hey, I don't want him.
And they won't give you 2 firsts.
We'll take Stafford off your hands.
They won't give you 2 firsts. Okay. That was part of the allure for the Rams. Like, we'll give you the first, but we want Goff off the books.
Leaked out, didn't have 2 firsts.
Yeah. I mean, it was required to get the 2nd first to take the contract. And if you're a rebuilding team and you have the money, use your money to trade for a first rounder.
Yeah, Jared Goff is a highly paid Davis Mills.
He's better than Davis Mills. Rare candy. If you had a good GM, you could find talent in later rounds to not have to embrace the suck.
So it's a roll of toilet paper.
If you have that same good GM, I'd rather him be picking sooner than later. Like, I just don't understand this. This to me seems like common sense. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Would you rather have the first crack at $100 or the 8th crack at $100? The first crack at $100. Mm-hmm. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Justin, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. You want to embrace the suck or stop the suck?
I want to embrace the suck. I mean, honestly, anywhere from 5 to 8 games does me no good. And I know you can get quarterbacks, top 8, top 15, whatever. But how about the 2nd round, 3rd round? I want the top pick in those rounds too. I mean, we're not going to get it this year. So let's go maximize on our draft capital that we have and embrace the suck. That's my opinion.
Appreciate the call, Justin. Thanks for listening to the Killer
Smart
Bees.
Guy.
Embrace the suck, stop the suck. 713-780-ESPN. Here's another thing, too, that hasn't been brought up in this conversation. Okay, let's just assume best quarterback in the 2023 draft goes to the number 8th pick of that draft. Okay, whatever. That's fine. If you have the number 1st pick of the NFL draft, what kind of capital could you add if you traded from 1 down to 8?
Probably
a first.
Yeah, and I meant to, it crossed my mind and bring it up a segment ago to say that's the other thing. When I was saying about how you have to give up draft assets and draft capital to get the player you want if you aren't picking where you need to be, on the flip side, if you are picking above all else in every single round and you still, and you know you have your eyes on the guy or guys, if you're smart, that are going to help your team, and someone that isn't going to take one of the guys you want wants to move up, you could add even more. You're in even more of a position of strength. And then, Brendan, you go back to that whole front office of having capable people to make the right picks, and you're in the driver's seat.
Rare Candy saying if your GM was competent, you wouldn't be picking that low. The only way is to bottom
it's
out and replace. Like,
it's not true.
How could have Nick Caserio made this team any better other than trading future capital?
If your GM just took over for an incompetent boob. I added an O. It's Bob, Bill O'Brien, not boob, or the same difference. But if you're taking over for a boob named Bob or others, and this is your 1st or 2nd draft, you can't put it on that.
I don't agree with that this year. I do feel that way next year.
Oh,
that's why
too.
I think the embrace the suck has to stop even being a conversation after this year.
I said that.
No, I'm just Yeah. It's a little early because of how little he had in year one to like to say he can't be picking at the bottom and be a bad GM.
I stop Embrace the Suck this offseason.
I do too, and I promise you that. But I also say, you're right. One, he was limited because of Booby Bob, again, in the first draft. But then, because he did so well in his first full draft, and then he even stunned everybody with how well he did in the Watson trade, you have full belief that another draft full of draft picks and more led by him and his staff, you're going to be just fine.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go back out there now for Lance. Lance, embrace the suck, stop the suck. You tell us.
Man, we got to stop the suck.
How?
If you win seven games, maybe a little less. Look, the Texas defense as a whole, they've made some stops to give the offense the ball back. And I think we just need a quarterback that can make the throw downfield.
Agreed.
And don't forget, the greatest quarterback of all time was a six-rounder.
He was.
So,
when's the last time a sixth-rounder since then has done that?
It's been a while. Don't get me wrong. It's been a while. But we stopped the suck seven games. We beat Cleveland. When they come to Houston, got to get the fans back and just get back in the draft. But having that early draft pick doesn't guarantee anything. We should have learned that from drafting Clowney.
It doesn't guarantee anything. But having the first pick. You know what the first pick does, though, Lance? Is it guarantees that you'll have the option to take the best quarterback in the draft. Mm-hmm. Does it mean it's going to hit? No. But having the 15th pick, and I mean, seven wins and getting you to 15, it's probably giving you round number 10. But having the 10th pick of the first round is not giving you the option to take the best quarterback in the draft. He might get there. You might get lucky. You might hit the lottery, but you don't have the guarantee like
Jeremy,
you do at number one.
It's return on investment, too. So your return on investment for stopping the suck is a win or two. You enjoy one or two more Sundays over the course of the season, but then you're rolling the dice even harder and looking for a guy that you hope to hit on in the draft or multiple guys in the draft, or you invest in the embrace the suck for the one more year. It's a small time commitment for a big time return on investment because of the fact that you may miss on that, like you said, the first round, first quarter. But guess what? In every single subsequent round of that draft, you're going to get better than pretty much everybody else picking the litter.
Yep.
Players that are going to make you better.
But the argument to stop the suck is, well, the GM's got to make good picks. Yeah, that's the case
no
matter what.
So far, he's shown he can do that.
Yeah, so give me the luxury of having the top one. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Duncan, you're in the hive. Embrace the suck, stop the suck.
Embrace the suck, what? I think that it's crazy that people understand the notion of sacrifice in every other aspect of life. If you're going to buy a new home, you have to save up for it and sacrifice, you know, lunches out and the $500 bar bills. Otherwise, you're going to be in your rented accommodation for the next 5 years. You know, save as hard as you can and then have the home you want next year.
Yeah, that's a great point, Duncan. Can you run my 401k?
Duncan,
I would love for you to do that.
Frankie's Friday Fire right now on a Wednesday.
Can I tell you guys the difference?
Well,
people miss football half the year, and when it comes back and your team sucks, it just hurts.
I don't think it's a difference, though. I don't think it's a difference. I think you can relate that. Like, Duncan obviously has a great head on his shoulders. He's willing to make sacrifice not to buy the Mercedes-Benz, but not to buy the $2,000 watch because he wants to invest it in something that's more tangible.
But they're not but there's going the opposite homeless of that. Half the year.
Whoa.
You're not going –
it's the difference between Brendan. Pleasure now and pleasure later.
But here's the thing.
It's the same thing.
The other thing is you can still find enjoyment out of what you see week in, week out here.
Because can you?
Yes, you're looking at Petrie. Yeah. You're looking at Pierce. You're looking at guys that are giving you hope and saying they can play and they're going to be here for a while. And this is great that I can see these guys in Texans uniforms for the next 3-5 years and they're going to make us better. And you can stay in games and you can sit there and say, hey, guess what? Progress is being made. You didn't get a win at the end of the game, but there's plenty that you can still enjoy about the team and the players.
713-780-ESPN, 6389. What do you recommend to the average fans of Texans to get them to watch losing football? I'm not talking to the diehards who will watch no matter what, but those who won't stomach a bad product. That's the thing. Like, that is one of the layers of Embrace the Suck. Mm-hmm. One of the layers of Embrace the Suck is understand where you are in life. Like, if you're making a six-hour drive to wherever you're going to, part of making that drive is getting into the mental state that I'm going to be in the car for the next 6 hours. And if you can convince yourself that that's what you're doing for the next 6 hours, you won't get antsy, you won't be impatient, it might suck, but you're going to live through it and you've committed to that state of mind. It's the same thing as embrace the suck. Commit yourself to the state of mind that this team's going to win four games last year, it's going to win four games this year, but there's good days ahead. But part of that process of you're embracing it, you're getting into that state of mind, but you're enjoying the steps along the way for all the young players. The foundation, look, foundational pieces did not exist on last year's team.
No, they did not.
Foundational pieces exist on this year's team. Look, we had the argument all offseason. Like, for this organization to show progress, they got to win more than four games. And I thought that that was ludicrous. It's why Bad Take Boulevard became a thing. It came into existence. If the Texans win four games this year, just like they won four games last year, but you see Stingley progressing and developing and maturing. Same thing with Petrie. Same thing with Kenyon Green. Christian Harris does it. Damian Pierce. Will the Texans be in a better state this offseason than they were last offseason, even though they only have four wins? The wins do not matter unless you're in playoff contention.
No question. We've said you're either really good or really bad. And you know where you can get really hurt? When you keep trying to stay mediocre. And just getting to six wins or seven wins is just trying to hang on to a straw of mediocrity and knowing that you're going to get a harder schedule, you're not getting as good a draft picks, and you're not going to be in nearly the right position, and you're not going to be in as good a position if you just follow the plan. And it's only for one more year, people. Why is that so hard to fathom? That it's not that hard to ask. It shouldn't be that hard to accept. One more season of trying to stay competitive in games but not winning a whole lot of them to realize the jump is going to be significant if you, and I know I realize it's still an if, but with the probability of having another good draft, adding more of those type players, and then going into free agency with money to be able to add even more guys to help other position groups to make this overall team and roster way better.
713-780-ESPN. Embrace the suck or stop the suck. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We'll get to the Astros in 15 minutes. We're having too much fun with this embrace the suck, stop the suck conversation. Which side are you on? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. I'm a Will Levis guy. I want Will Levis to be a Houston Texan, Kentucky quarterback. I want the Texans to draft a quarterback. I'd be happy with Bryce Young. I really want Will Levis. I think Mel Kiper has convinced Brendan that he is also a Will Levis guy. Are you ready for this, Brendan? Brendan, do you have a favorite quarterback in this year's draft?
No, class? Way too early for me for that.
Way too early?
Yeah.
You know, how do you watch college football on Saturdays?
What?
How do you watch college football on Saturdays?
I don't know.
One of my favorite things to do is watch quarterback prospects. Anyways, Mel Kiper Jr., his comparison for Will Levis is Matthew Stafford.
Oh, wow.
Matthew Stafford. Brendan has a new love child in Will Levis.
No question.
And he's going to be a Texan.
Move over, Pauly G. Yep. A new poster's coming on.
Yeah.
I don't know if I were going to describe my perfect quarterback prospect if I would describe them as Matthew Stafford.
I don't think it's a good comp,
honestly. It is more personal with Matthew Stafford. It's more emotional than it is logical.
See, Will Levis is more athletic than Matt Stafford, in my opinion. His ability to beat you on the ground is far greater than Matthew Stafford. I've seen him drag an LSU Tiger into the end zone, and I've seen him jump over a defender. Has Matthew Stafford ever done that in his life?
Saw Tim Tebow do that.
Jumped over a defender?
Yeah, but Tim Tebow didn't have an arm. Will Levis has an arm.
Okay.
That's not why I like Will Levis. That's not why I like Will Levis. It's an ability to beat you on the running game.
I'm just rebuttaling what you said about two plays.
Sure, but I said his running ability. I didn't say my favorite thing about him as a prospect is that he runs through people and jumps over somebody. I said those are the things he can do on the ground. My favorite thing about him has nothing to do with his running ability.
Okay.
It's his cannon for a right arm with perfect accuracy and the ability to make great decisions from the pocket.
And remember now, according to Randy Mueller, that is vitally important and the number one characteristic he's looking for in a quarterback.
Yeah, he did that.
Something you have to factor in.
Former NFL Executive of the Year, not just two hacks on the radio. And Levis is big. Levis is big, whereas Bryce Young's not.
I am still, jury's still out, because, I mean, me and my staff are still deliberating because we know how important talent evaluation is in this process because we expect to be drafting high because of Embrace the Suck.
Yep.
But I obviously know, you guys already know, that I've been early on a very big Bryce Young guy, and I know that he's going to get dinged for his size.
Mm-hmm.
But again, going back to what Randy Mueller said and just watching the Texas game alone and the way he is able to stay calm in the pocket, make right decisions, make good decisions, and make plays, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I look, Bryce Young I'd be completely happy with, too. I'd be bullish about either one of those guys.
Easy to say those are the top two? Stroud
for me, they are. Mel Kiper has Stroud as his number one quarterback.
Oh boy,
yeah, he has Stroud number one. I'm not Stroud to me. Is
I'm not
third,
on that
and a distant third for me.
Yep.
Herman on our Twitter, he's tweeting us. I'm at Jeremy Branham. He's at Pac-Man Joel. He says This is the dumbest thing ever. Texans fans are stupid. I don't want them to win one F-word game. What is the point in winning four or five games? I don't understand.
Exactly.
I mean, you have to ask Granato that. He wants to
in
stop
a nutshell,
the suck.
Herm, that's what we're talking about.
4-6-8-3. I said it before the year. Best outcome for the Texans to be close all games all year with the young players showing flashes and less than four wins to be in the best position to make the jump in 2023. See, that's like a notion. The counter argument to embrace the suck is like this idea that you need to start winning to build a winning culture. If you go, let's say, I mean, there's 17 games now in the NFL. I always have to factor in this Texans tie, which makes it very annoying. If the Texans go 6-10-1 instead of 4-12-1, does that help the foundation of a culture? The fact that you win two more games between 4-6, say it's even three games, 4-7, does that really help a culture?
I mean, look, that's what I keep saying. No, I mean, culturally, it's about, are you buying into the coaching staff and the organization and the general manager and the overall, you know, every day that ends in a Y, from practices to games to everything in between? Are you buying in? Do you believe in the team? Do you believe in the guys around you? Do you believe that you're making progress? Those are the things that you're talking about when you're talking about culture. The things that relate to like wins and losses and the overall progression of an organization and a team with a roster and wins and losses are directly related to the talent on the roster and the ability and the quickness to acquire quality talent and keep it.
Mm-hmm.
The one hesitation I have with suggesting wins don't matter for culture, for building a culture, there is such a history in the NFL of franchises who do just suck all the time. And it's not for 5 years. It's for 20 years, 30 years. Like, teams that just can't get it right, GM after GM after GM after GM.
Yep.
I do think taking yourself – I think winning is part of. It's not the only thing.
That's bad ownership. You can't escape bad ownership in professional
sports. Well, then
you
got to embrace a new general manager.
I think we give Cal a lot of grief about being a bad owner. I'm not ready to call Cal a bad owner for the lifetime of my life.
No. But the point is, a bad owner could be sticking with the wrong guy for too long to make the wrong picks for too long, which sets you back.
Yeah, sure. But I don't think Cal is there yet.
No, he's not there yet, but it's a combo platter. Who stayed with Bill? Who kept sticking with Bill O'Brien until they just absolutely couldn't anymore?
I mean, he fired him like what? How quickly into his life as a general manager? I feel like Cal McNair empowered Bill O'Brien to determine if he was going to fire him or not.
But think about this, Jeremy. He empowered Bill O'Brien to hire Bill O'Brien guys, including the general manager. And then as much as we get on Caserio because he hired a coach that he had to fire within a year.
But they were winning. They were winning. The first year that there were the signs of that there was like a dumpster fire, he fired them four games into the year. They made the playoffs the year before
big picture of this. This is where I'm going with this. So you empower Bill O'Brien and you say, go out and get your guys. So you go out and get your own general manager. He goes out and gets his own general manager and then realizes he doesn't like the guy he went out and got. And he goes and gets rid of him.
Sure.
So therefore, just like Caserio with Culley, a lot of people should have been looking at it going, what the hell are you doing? How does that fly? And then that's where the ownership comes in going, how much longer can I empower a guy that's making the wrong decisions? And at the same time, the decisions that he's making now that this guy is gone, it's not showing tangible progress for the franchise.
Who are you saying is not, though?
Cal with Bill stuck with him too long.
Like, why wouldn't he? I can't make that call. I mean, Bill O'Brien went 11-5, 10-6, was two quarters away from hosting an AFC championship game.
I'm talking about he pushed out Rick Smith. He was then.
But they were winning.
Then he got empowered more. Right. Because you're winning, maybe that's why he was able to stick around so long.
Absolutely. That's
because
the reason.
The winning covered up for all the missteps of Bill O'Brien.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, the teams were fine.
But if you empower him to get rid of Rick Smith, you empower him to pick his own general manager, then he picks his own general manager, gets in a tiff with him.
Yeah.
And then.
So
gets
Cal
rid
made
of
him the general manager to say, okay, Bill, if you think you can run this, here's your chance. It failed miserably, and he fired him four games into the year.
Right, but it was the leading up to the four games of the year. It was all the moves that he made.
That
off season. Subsequent move.
That offseason.
But I'm saying there was multiples. It could have been after the first one blew up in your face that big. You were like, oh, my God.
What's the alternative, though? You were 10-6. You were beating Kansas City.
Go pick your own general manager. If you love him as a coach, then leave him as a coach. But go get your own general manager.
Well, it wasn't working. Like, I mean, you just mentioned all the, you know, the fighting with Rick Smith, the fighting with Brian Gain. So, like, it wasn't working with the GM. I think Bill O'Brien wanted the power. So, Cal McNair.
He did.
Yeah, okay. So Cal McNair said, okay, you've been a winning team. You've won double-digit games the last 2 years. Here is the power. Go do with it what you will. He did, and then he got fired immediately. Like, Cal brought down the hammer.
Okay.
I don't understand why he didn't. They were a playoff team 2 years in a row.
Because I always hear the argument with Bill O'Brien. Then what I would have said then, too, is I would have made, especially, I really want to know if he even knew about the, and he signed off on the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
He didn't want to meddle. Good owners don't meddle.
Oh, that's ridiculous. I mean, Jerry good Jones owners the alternative. Can meddle when you give a guy that wants power and has shown to be power hungry and power crazed too much power. That's where a good owner has to meddle.
I mean, you can make that argument, sure. I mean, I don't want a Jerry Jones, though.
Well, but there's a big difference between meddling when you absolutely have to and Jerry Jones.
There's no meddling. There's meddling like Jones, and then you have like Crane in the middle, who, I mean, has been a good owner for the Astros. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Speaking of the Astros, how can you watch that game yesterday and say, you know what, I want Phil Maton on the playoff roster and not Luis Garcia? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know what I would like to do? If Luis Garcia is left on the playoff roster, heck, if he's on the playoff roster, I would like to offer Luis Garcia a drink. And I'm going to do that with some Gentle Ben. I don't know if he's a vodka guy. I don't know if he's a gin guy. I don't know if he's a bourbon guy. Good thing Gentle Ben has all three. Gentle Ben Spirits does it all, and they do it better than anyone. They're a line of ultra-premium Texas spirits, and they use their state-of-the-art, innovative, Percedo craft technology that's better in purity, better in aroma, and better in taste than your favorite brand of vodka, gin, or bourbon. Purification of Gentle Ben is unrivaled. You'll love what's not in it. Try a sip of Gentle Ben, compare it to your brand, and you're going to taste the huge difference that I did when Ricky Ford, owner of Gentle Ben Spirits, A&M Class of 85, had me out to the tasting room in Alvin to see what I thought, and ever since then, I've been a Gentle Ben man. It is so smooth, it is so clean, it eliminates the burn. How about you enjoy your drink? Don't work through your drink. Don't suffer through your drink. Enjoy your drink, and you can do that with Gentle Ben. You can find Gentle Ben Vodka and Gin at Total Wine and Specs, also online at gentleben.com. If you're in League City, head over to Hill's Liquor on South Shore. If you're looking for the bourbon, you got to head to the Tasting Room in Alvin, but that's a good thing. Tasting Room in Alvin is outstanding. Great place to spend some time. That 94-proof bourbon, winner of the double platinum at the Ascot Awards this year, exclusive to the Tasting Room in Alvin. Sit back with good company and raise a glass of the very best Gentle Ben.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Astros played baseball yesterday. They beat the Diamondbacks, beat them handedly. Good to see Brent Strom back at the ballpark, by the way.
Yeah, and you know what? I think you will appreciate this as well. I really did. When he came back and people were interviewing him and getting sound bites from him, one of the first things he wanted to point out was that Jeff Luhnow should still get credit, and he doesn't get enough credit for being the guy that orchestrated this golden run of Astros baseball. And I think he's absolutely right. I think you and I both agree that he's the best general manager the Astros have ever had. He might be the best general manager in this city.
Yeah, I said once upon a time in a previous radio life that he was the best general manager in baseball history. I mean,
you want to go that far? I will hear the argument.
We just talked about all the losing the Texans have done. This will be just the third year in a row that they missed the playoffs when the Astros went 9 straight, 3 straight 100-loss seasons, 0-0s on the TV. Nobody was pulling up to the games. It was a dumpster fire. It was atrocious. It was bad. It was awful. And Jeff Luhnow turned that into what is currently the golden era of Houston Astro baseball. Yeah, I don't have any disagreement. I would stand on the table and say he's the best GM that's ever done it.
And even if you don't want to go that far, as it relates to what everybody cares about most in this town, and rightfully so is the Astros, you look at it and say it's hard to argue that he wasn't the best general manager in the history of the Astros franchise, maybe the best general manager this city's ever seen, including all the people that love Fat Elvis and all the moves that Daryl made. And
I thought you were talking about Lance Berkman. I was like, when was he a GM?
No,
he's at Houston Christian University.
Yeah, right. No, that was another side nickname that everybody had for Daryl for a while.
I'll take Berkman over Maury.
Okay, that's your choice. I think that I definitely would too. But I
was
think
waiting for it.
When you look at it, just because of the fact that if he had any kind, if his disposition was different, if his reputation was different in terms of how he treated people, his ego, things like that, when he wasn't in the middle of deals.
Mm-hmm.
I think there would be a totally different, oh, and obviously the cheating scandal plays a big part in this too, but still, you can't take away his flowers for all that he achieved that was good up until 17. And when you look at it, if he wasn't quite as big of an a-hole to too many people, and he was a really good dude, people would be celebrating him and wanting him back.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Morey was a good GM. Luno, too. I know you're talking about him. We'll get into Luis Garcia and Phil Maton because they both pitched in the game yesterday, and there's a decent chance that one of them is left off the playoff roster, at least the ALDS, maybe not the ALCS. But I do have an update. Remember that door hanger I was telling you about? If you weren't listening to the show yesterday, my mud district threatened to turn off my water by today at noon if I didn't, you know, pay the bill. The reason that I hadn't paid the bill is because I had it on auto pay for the previous 4 years. And then for whatever reason, the mud district just changed services just out of the blue. Didn't tell me, didn't like nothing. They left a door hanger on my door saying, this is the situation. You got to pay. You got to pay now or we're shutting off your water. I obviously have baby Branham at home. So I can't have the water shut off, especially now with the baby at home. So I went on, paid it, as you know, I should. I mean, I owed him the money. I had no problem paying him the money. But I went and looked at the invoice, Brendan. $35 for them to hang a door hanger on my phone or on my door. So I called them up yesterday and I killed them with kindness. I killed them with sugar, baby. I said, excuse me, sir. Look, I don't do the, I have auto enroll. I do auto pay. I've opted out of the paper delivery. So I didn't even know this was happening. I believe it's your fault because, you know, you changed the services. I did nothing wrong here. I would ask you to please waive the $35 or at least give me the $35 credit. He said, Mr. Branham, give me a couple minutes. Comes back a couple minutes later, $35 credit on my water service.
Look
killed
at
him
you.
With kindness.
Look at you.
People on Twitch thought I was going to be a Karen. They thought I was going to be like you, Blankers. No,
wait
I killed
minute,
him with
like
kindness.
Me. You don't know how I go about
yes,
when
I do.
When
you
I
told us
back.
About your call with Nike. Yeah, I do know.
Well,
you
it started out being, times. No, you don't know. Because as if you listened, and again, like the people that are fighting Embrace the Suck, if you care to listen and dig deeper and realize the first couple calls, I was extremely nice, killing them with kindness and just saying this isn't right. When I got smart-ass remarks back at me and I got flippid little just go off on your way comments instead of, hey, we need to make this right, that's when I got a little fired up and took a different approach. But I always start out that way.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not going to, you know, it's like my mother-in-law and my wife will challenge me sometimes. They'll be like, hey, you know what? Like my wife, and I think this was something you'd actually buy into, but she gets that burger crumble that's not burger. It's vegan, but it tastes like
what?
It tastes like ground beef. And then she has this sesame seasoning.
I would like to see if it actually tastes like ground meat.
It actually is really good. And you mix it. I mix it with rice and broccoli and vegetables. And it's like an Asian dish that's really, really tasty. Well, I didn't realize she said, honey, go to the store and get some more sesame oil. I didn't realize that there's like sesame oil in the oil department. And then a specific kind of sesame oil that has more flavor to it in the Asian foods aisle. So I got the wrong one. She goes, there's no way they're going to take that back.
Shocker, you got the wrong one.
Try it. I went back. I did the same thing you do. I said, hey, the wife sent me. I had no clue. The lady was like, oh, it's fine. She exchanged it right away. So it's not like, don't give me this bad reputation that I come out of the gates guns blazing.
I think that's
I'll
how most
get
people
there,
think.
But I don't start there.
I think most people would think that. I think most people think. Grandma Branham always said, kill them with kindness, even if they don't deserve it. Luis Garcia, Phil Maton yesterday. We both saw them pitch. Luis Garcia wasn't supposed to start the game. He started the game. Pitched really well. I thought he was very efficient, economical. He got through six innings, threw only 85 pitches, gave up the one long ball to that slugger, Luis Perdomo, who hit his fifth home run of the season. But only the one run over the six innings. Phil Maton comes in. He wasn't bad. I mean, one run over two innings. He was fine. He gave up a run over the two innings. There's a good chance that one of these two guys will be left off the playoff roster in the division series. I don't know how you could watch that game yesterday and pick Phil Maton over Luis Garcia. I know that the argument will be, well, Phil Maton's used to the bullpen. Luis Garcia, we haven't seen him do that in a really long time, even though he was warming up twice this past weekend. I know that Phil Maton had a really good postseason last year. He only gave up one run and he only gave up a run in one appearance in the playoffs last year. So, does he have the clutch gene? Nothing phases him. But for me, it's give me the better arm. Lose the whole starter reliever thing. Lose the previous history thing. Give me the dude that has a better chance to get people out. And when I watch Luis Garcia pitch and when I watch Phil Maton pitch, To me, it's a no-brainer that Luis Garcia gives me a better chance to get a hitter out in the playoffs.
Well, and that's the thing. Whether you go to control and the ability to pinpoint pitches, or you go to the ability to have strikeout pitches and above-average fastball, you can go up and down the list. The only thing I'm looking forward to seeing of Phil Maton is this feature, if Julia can pull it off, for this interview with him and his brother playing for the Phillies, to see if his brother also has the straight-face gene, but maybe has more ability. Because other than that, I don't need to see any more Phil Maton. Phil Maton comes in, I think there's a collective groan across the city of Houston that's watching baseball going, not him again. I don't want to see him. And I think if that's the story now in the regular season, the last thing people want to do in the middle of a playoff push is see a critical time in the game when Dusty Baker calls for number 88. I don't need to see him anymore. I saw him, and I, you know, he did his job a year ago. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. It was just what they needed. But guess what? Different year, different story. Same thing with like a Will Smith type guy. You can't rest on what the resume said in the past. You got to go with what they've been able to do this year. Luis Garcia, more times than not, gets guys out, is a quality major league pitcher, has quality major league stuff, and whether he's starting or relieving, we've seen it. When he's not a starter thinking he has to go six innings or so, and he goes deep into the tank and empties it in an inning or two, he ups his miles per hour. Yeah. He still has the secondary pitches, and he gives you confidence.
Like, you can talk about all of the previous history. You can talk about starter. Like, I get all of that. I understand that logic. I really do. But you have to simplify it once you get to the playoffs. Who gives you a better chance to get a clean inning? Who gives you a better chance to get three hitters out? Also, what's kind of working into Luis Garcia's favor here is the fact that he can go deep into games. If you're in an extra inning game, Luis Garcia can give you four or five innings. Verlander, I'm not going to say that. But Luis Garcia has the ability to give you multiple innings where Phil Maton does not have that ability. I'm going Luis Garcia before I'm going Phil Maton. To me, it's a no-doubter. It's a no-brainer. Do you disagree? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Somebody texted in, 6535, might be Cody Stutes, maybe Jake Asman, maybe BK. Ugh, can we stop with the baseball crap already? Every time I turn on this darn station, y'all are blabbing about baseball. Baseball sucks. It's boring and lame. Football is back. Football is king. Yes, the Texans suck. We get it, but there's 31 other teams out there. Basketball is about to start back up. Anything but baseball, please.
You have the best record in the American League. You have one of the top two teams in baseball, Kyle, and this is the approach you want to take. This is what you want to talk about. You want to talk about embracing the suck and a team that hasn't even started anything short of training camp yesterday. And you think that's more pertinent and more a subject we could focus on than a team getting ready to make a run at trying to win another World Series and having made multiple appearances in World Series over the last 6 years? Come on, man. Get a clue.
Should the Killer Bees talk less baseball? 713-780-ESPN.
Get the keys and get on the highway to hell.
780-3776.
I just think the timing of it is perfect. Like, honestly, that's the greatest troll text I've ever heard. We just finished 90 consecutive minutes of football. And the moment we left, we were told we needed to go back.
Yeah.
I think you guys should stop talking baseball, because why do we want to be happy and talk about a team that's good? We want to talk about teams that suck.
I mean, I like to consider our show well versed. The ability to do it all and to do it all very, very well, whether it's the football, whether it's the basketball, whether it's the baseball. Our brand is better than the rest, whether it's aroma, purity, taste, all of it. We're better across the board than everybody else that does it.
I don't disagree with you.
General Ben. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Should the Killer Bees stop talking baseball? In case we missed it, it's all the stories we haven't had the chance to get to in what has been a very busy week. The stories we want to talk about, it's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.